It's always hard to know what one could say or should say, or even where to start. There's so much, so many rich treasures that we've already explored, both in Scripture and in song. I'm struck by the fact that the Christian tradition, the story that we've received, it's not just a story, of course, it's a story of the true events that happened in the life and the person of Jesus of Nazareth. But I'm struck by how this story is so full of the magical, or something along those lines. That word magical might not be a good word for you, but it brings to mind stories that we've read. I'm thinking of some children's stories, well, young teen stories that I've read to my children. And they're all full of all these things, right? The sign, the prophecies, the fulfillment, the fact that it gets missed, you know. Virtually, I mean, show me a story and it's never like, oh yeah, there was a prophecy and everyone understood it and knew it was coming. They all lined up and they all signed up. It's always like, no, everybody missed this. The hero, of course, has to struggle against great odds and obscurity. And then usually it turns out good in the end, until like the last 20 years or so. Then people started writing different stories. Not a big fan myself. I like happy endings. I really do. But we get numb to this, or we get immune to this. We don't hear this. I mean, this is pretty staggering stuff that we just heard. Angels, do we believe that? That an angel showed up, one angel, and then a choir of angels? That this baby was born without the agency of a human father or any contribution of the human male half of the chromosomes? Like, if we believe that, that's pretty wild, that's pretty out there, that's definitely Tolkien stuff, or, you know, whoever else. Tolkien, you know, the fantasy writer, yeah. But Tolkien, of course, writes the way he does because he's read the scriptures. What came first? Well, Jesus came first, in as far as the Western literature, history of Western literature. There's also this whole thing about time. We tend to think, and it's a great gift of the Jewish Christian, but it began with the Jewish tradition, that time is linear because time has an end. It's progressing. It's going to a point. Prior to that, and you might be aware of other traditions about time, in particular the East, their religious traditions, time is cyclical. Even though it might be vast, it always folds back in on itself, and that's, in fact, what our modern scientific worldview tells us about time, because of the law of entropy. You know, this thing can't keep going as it is, and so if it began one time, and when it dies, it will probably rebirth itself or something along those lines. But though the Jewish scriptures, by introducing God and his intent and purpose in creating time, gives us this sense of the linearity of time, and because time has a goal, it has an end point, we've lost sight of the fact that time is also cyclical. Have you ever noticed how things happen in cycles? It's winter. Isn't that bad? Aren't we stuck in Narnia? Always winter, never Christmas. Feels like it. But we know, everybody who's older than two knows that spring is coming and summer, and then, of course, fall and winter again. But, and our own lives, we hit cycles, but we forget that. But here's the thing. Tonight, we've cycled back around. Not, okay, probably Jesus wasn't born December 25th, but we don't know for sure. But it's a great time of year because they gave us a school break, right? When else would you want Christmas? Well, there's a school break. You know, I'm kidding. Sorry. We cycled back around, and we're at the point where this thing is real again in a way that your linear concept of time doesn't allow for. You've just heard the Savior has been born. This is the way Paul says it in Titus. The grace of God was made manifest, bringing salvation to all. And tonight is an opportunity to hear that word in a different way. And if you at all were paying attention during the first part of our service, you would have heard that word spoken to you in word, in song. We have the opportunity, those of us members of God's family, to connect anew again when we come to our communion time. But I really believe that time has a way of folding in on itself, and that like those shepherds, we should respond. Now here's the thing. Let's say there was a million people on the planet. That's maybe an over-exaggeration, but let's say there's a million people on the planet when Jesus was born. We've heard about five who know of his, well, I don't know how many shepherds. Let's say there was three shepherds, Mary and Joseph. Five people who were made aware of this event. That's not good odds, is it? And you follow Jesus' career, those of you who are familiar with the story, it's a little bit like the Old Testament story. The majority of people seem to miss this thing. So though Paul tells us the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all, we know that not all get it. Not all respond. I don't have a solution for that. My encouragement is that when you connect with it, that you follow up on it like these shepherds did. Let's say the shepherd that said, whoa, that's it, no more falafels before bedtime, because wow, that was pretty staggering nightmare or vision we had, and they all agreed it was some gastrointestinal, you know, upset that induced that vision, and they didn't follow up on the story. Well, that would have been their loss, of course. The angels probably would have found someone else who hadn't been eating falafels. But the shepherds did. Now, let us go, they said. Let's go and check this out. There's Mary, of course, herself, who wrestles with this because, let's picture this for a minute. You and I, like the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission for God, and we end up in an inn. I mean, in a stable, because there's no room in the inn. We're like, God, couldn't you have planned this a little better? You knew this was coming. Some of you have given birth, probably not in a stable, and you wouldn't have signed up for that. So Mary herself, of course, is living with this whole question of, is God really in this? If God is in this, why does it look so kind of undersold or under-supported? Like, what's going on? And that's part of the challenge, I think, for you and I tonight. We cycled around. We're here. We hear the word again. I'm not an angel, but I'm telling you on behalf of the angels. Christ has been born tonight. Today, for you, a Savior has been born. Christ the Lord. But you need to follow up on it, and you need to be honest about that part of you that says, oh, come on now, if God was doing this, it wouldn't look like this. That's Mary and Joseph. I'm pretty sure that thought crossed their mind. Where's God in all this? Here we are out in a stable. And if you've been a Christian and tried to follow Jesus for any period of time, you've run into your own challenges in that way. Why hasn't God made this easier or simpler? Why don't I feel it anymore? Why is it so hard to believe? And again, I don't have any answers for that. I can encourage you tonight. If because the time is ripe and we've cycled back around to hear anew this great word of salvation and comfort, and that has touched your heart or spirit in any way, like the shepherds who went to investigate, or like Mary who treasured it in her heart, respond. Respond.